All right. I want to read the scripture. If you have your Bible today, open it up to 1 Corinthians. Excuse me. First, stop again. Colossians chapter 1. I'll get the right numbers out. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to begin in verse 19. And I'm going to read down to verse 23. Are you ready to be blessed? Are you ready to bless? That wasn't near as strong as you wanting to be blessed, okay? You want that blessing, but we got to bless others too, all right? Okay, verse 19 starts out and it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and irreproachable in his sight. If, verse 23, if you indeed continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your love for each and every one of us, Lord God, and your encouragement. Father, may we be a blessing today in all that we do. Father, may we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I have a whole sermon and everything about this, but we're going to condense it. Because we have some people we need to encourage, right? Okay, so this particular passage is awesome if we begin to understand it, all right? How many can give me a definition of what it means to be reconciled? I got an amen, but I didn't get an answer. When you make peace with somebody, when you restore, brought back together, what was it, Bill? Balanced. Okay. These are good. These are good. Okay. To be reconciled, if we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that to be reconciled to God means that God is not holding our sin against us. So the debt has been paid. The debt has been paid. The account against us has been taken care of. Can anyone shout about that? That's good news that the debt is, I do not have to pay for the debt. Right? Okay, now, let me try to put this in a way that we can understand it. Say, Barry takes Rich out for lunch. Barry pays for Rich's lunch. The waitress comes up and tells Rich, "You need to pay me before you leave." Do you think Rich is just going to sit there and say, I guess I do. Maybe Barry didn't pay for my lunch. Or do you think he's going to say, "No, wait a minute, Barry paid for my lunch, I don't have to do that"? The debt had been paid by Barry, so Rich can walk out free. But if Rich never says anything, Rich is, because he's such a nice guy, he's probably just going to pay the debt. Just pay for it again. Why? Because he didn't say anything. God has paid your debt But if you don't say anything to the enemy, then you're going to accept whatever the enemy wants to throw at you. You're going to just accept it because, well, I did eat the dinner. I guess I should pay for it. Since Barry didn't do it, I guess I should. And see, he's just assuming now Barry didn't pay for the debt. But I'll bet you if you ask Dee Dee, she would know. Did Barry pay for that debt dinner? Of course. Well, see, that's the way it is with God. God has paid the debt, but the enemy keeps coming back and saying, no, you have to pay for that. You need to be sick because you did this, this, and this. You need to pay for this because you did this. Is that making sense? But God came in, sent Jesus to the cross, reconciled us back to him so that we don't have to pay the debt. We don't have to be sick because he paid for sickness on the cross. We don't have to be in debt because he paid for that on the cross. We don't have to be bound by sin, controlled by sin, maneuvered and manipulated by sin, by guilt, by shame, because Jesus took care of all of that on the cross. So when the enemy comes at me and says, you know what? You need to deal with this. This is just going to be your ticket in life. You're going to have to deal with heart problems. It's just going to be who you've, your family's done it. You just have to do it. You're in the wrong family. Do you know what? Do we know what Jesus has done when he reconciled us back to him? Okay, now this is I'm getting to a point here, okay? So he has reconciled us back to him. He's paid for our reconciliation. So he's already taken my heart problems, my guilt, my shame, my diabetes, all of these things that he has been throwing at people that we just put up with, because what else are we going to do? There's a scripture, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. How many know what it says? All right, Linda, give her a prize. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not. What does that mean? Walk not. You don't do what the wicked do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many of you listen to ungodly people about your life? Oh, well, I guess I should do that because so-and-so said I should do that. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel. Counsel is advice. Counsel is they're trying to give you guidance. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it goes on down through there. Or stands in the seat of the path of the wicked. Stands or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, which is the word of God. What does the word of God say about your past sin? It says it's no longer part of your life. So when the enemy comes up and says, you did this, so now you have to deal with this, we need to talk back to the devil. I don't know if you've ever talked back to anybody. Anybody ever talk back? All right, now some of you, I know we're lying on that one. But some of us have to figure out how to talk back to the devil. Because the devil is going to come. I can guarantee he's going to come and try to get you to pay the bill. I can guarantee it. Because Jesus said, in this life, you will have many troubles. But, I love that word. But, be of good courage. I have overcome. Who are you in? Are you in the overcomer? Is the overcomer in you? As the overcomer said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. See, if we don't know what the Bible says about us, we're going to accept anything the enemy begins to throw at us. Because you know what? It sounds really reasonable, right? I guess I did do that, so maybe I should pay the bill. I ate, and it was really good. It was a lot of fun. Maybe they just forgot to pay for it. I don't think God forgot anything on the cross. In fact, I guarantee it. He didn't forget anything when he went to the cross. He didn't forget whatever that is that's been tormenting you. He just said, paid. And he reconciled it. What he did is he brought us back in the word, bring us back into harmony. Bring us back into harmony. Now, if you don't know what that means, I was talking to a little guy, Ezra, today. Seven years old. He came up to me and says, can I sing a song this morning? I said, yes. He wants to sing with us on the worship team. I said, sure. Are you going to sing bass? He looks at me with this funny look. I said, okay, are you going to sing tenor? He gave me another look, and then I said, about alto? I just want to sing. He didn't know what he was singing, which is understandable, right? He didn't know how to harmonize because he'd never been taught. Okay? We need to teach not only ourselves what it means to harmonize with God, to come into union with God, to come into fellowship with God, but we need to understand that God wants to come into communion with us. He wants to harmonize. He wants to sing that harmony with us to make you look good. Right? He wants you to look good. God wants you to look good. And so he's going to come alongside and bring in that harmony to add to you. Pay the bill. Take care of all those difficult things that you've been struggling with. He's going to take care of it. And bring you back into harmony with him. Reconcile you back to your original intent. Which your original intent, if you go back to Genesis, was to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. Just relax and rest in God's presence. That's being reconciled to God. And then he goes on, and I love the end of this verse, or this passage. It says, that in his body of his flesh through the death to present you, this is how he's going to present you, now that he's harmonized with you, he's going to present you, everyone say holy, blameless. Now say that with some gusto, okay? Blameless, and what does it say on the text there, Lise, for years? This is above reproach. Mine says irreproachable. Above reproach. That's what he's done. Everyone say, above reproach. Okay, now let's say that all together. I'm going to lay this out. You've got to have to think here. God made me holy, blameless, and above reproach. Now, didn't that just feel good to say it? God made me holy, blameless, and above reproach. So what that means is the enemy cannot come against me because of what God did for me. He harmonized me with him. He brought me into fellowship with him to honor him. to display his glory. Not just to be taking up space. He wants you and me to look good. Then it goes on in the next verse, and it says, verse 23, if indeed, whenever that word if is there, it just makes me wonder, okay, now what do I have to do, right? If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now listen to this. If you are not moved from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, Paul is preaching the gospel, and I do my best to preach the gospel. Because Paul said over in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says that the gospel is the hope. It's the power of God unto salvation. That's the gospel. So I want to encourage you. Don't waver from the gospel. I know that's just a religious thing that we all do. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Well, if we don't understand what the gospel is, well, Paul plainly laid it out here. It's to be reconciled to God, to be made holy and blameless and without reproach. That's the gospel. And in that gospel, never waver to the right or to the left. Don't go one way or the other. Because God is a good God. So let me go over to this verse over in Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, completely convinced in your faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Having our conscience washed and our body washed with the Word of God. Now, this word pure water, it's not just bottled water. It's not just water from a spring. This water is pure. How many of you wash your car? Y'all wash your car around here once in a while. And then when it dries, you get little spots on your car. Why is that? Because the water wasn't pure. There's calcium deposits and all kinds of things in that water. So when we don't take care of that, then it is leaving residue. But you have been washed with pure, undefiled water, uncontaminated water, so that when it dries, it is crystal clear who you are. There is no residue of sin. There's no residue of shame or guilt or sickness or anything that the enemy can bring against you. You are above reproach. He can't even look at that and say, well, see, right there, there's a spot. You're above reproach because you've been washed with pure water. Then he goes on, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. That's why he said in the beginning, if Rich never says anything to the waitress about Barry paying for his meal, Rich is going to end up paying twice. So he has to speak up and say, no, it's been taken care of. No, the debt has been paid. And see, in church, we are just content to sit there with our mouth closed and think, well, it'll blow over. And we just think it really hard. We think the scriptures. How many think scriptures? Y'all think scriptures. I hope you do. But when you're in a fight, you better open up your mouth. You better open up your mouth and start speaking the word of God. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The greater one lives in me. And begin to open up your mouth and declare what God has done for you. That's your confession. In Revelation chapter 12, it says that we have overcome the devil, the enemy, the serpent, by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. It doesn't say your thoughts. It doesn't just say that the blood of the Lamb is enough. It says that the blood of the Lamb, and you have to add to it your words to see victory. See, a lot of times we don't do that. We know the blood of the Lamb. We plead the blood. We do all that stuff. We plead the blood. Doorpost, side post, mercy seat, all that, all the stuff we're supposed to do. But we never open our mouth and proclaim what Jesus said. And then he goes on, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, okay, let me just remind you this morning, you are not here just to hold that bench down. You are here to stir the people up around you. You are here to encourage the people around you to love and good works. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. That means we need to gather together. We need to come together to do this. It's kind of hard to encourage Rich when he doesn't come. Now, he always comes, so that's why I'm picking on him. It's hard to encourage people when they don't come to church. And you know what? It would be really hard for me to encourage Rich if I didn't come to church. If I decided, well, I'm just tired, I don't want to go to church today, it would be really hard to encourage you. So it says, forsaking not the assembling together of ourselves, as some have, or some are in the manner of doing, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How many believe the day is approaching? Okay? If the day is approaching, what do you need to do? Exhort, encourage one another, stir them up. Okay, now, you've got this stirring people up, because we've done it in the world. Okay, you don't still do it, but you used to do it in the world. You could stir people up, right? You know how to go into a room and stir them up. All you got to do is go in and tell them something they don't want to hear. You're going to stir them up. But see, we know how to do that. But see, this is saying that we need to stir up love, good works. We need to stir one another up. Why? Because of the gospel. So what this is telling me is that there are people right here this morning that are dealing with some things that need to be stirred up. They need to be reminded of what God has done. They need to be reminded of what the word says. Now, you might look, I look at you guys, you all got nice smiles on your faces this morning. This is good. But you know what? We're going to wear those smiles until probably about 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon. Then we lay down, take a nap. And then we wake up grumpy. Or you can let them sleep. It doesn't really matter. But see, we need to encourage one another right now, because you know what? There are a lot of things weighing on people here today. A lot of decisions that are being made. lot of challenges that are before us. A lot of struggles. Yes, in this world, you will have trouble. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift one another up. So we need to do that with each other today. Are you ready? Are you ready to encourage one another? Okay, where's my bell? We need to shoot the bell or ring the bell or something. Get everybody ready to encourage one another, to stir one another up, because Jesus is coming. And you know what? I don't want anybody to miss what God wants to do in their life here. Right? I want everybody to remember what Jesus has done. And as we see that day of coming, we need to be ready to encourage. Yes, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be trials. But we can encourage one another because we are a family.